Brothers and sisters in Christ, turn and live. It was a hard word that God gave Ezekiel for the people of his day. Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, declares the Lord God. Repent and turn from all your transgressions, lest iniquity be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions that you have committed, and make yourselves a new heart and new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Lord God. So turn and live. Let's begin by being clear about the context here. God was not offering the nation of Judah one last chance to repent. The broader context of Ezekiel's message makes that much quite clear. God had already pronounced his judgment and his sentence of exile upon the nation. In our text, the focus shifts so that God's message through Ezekiel is not directed to the nation collectively, but to each individual who hears the word. And that's what the first part of our reading makes clear. And that's also why it speaks to us today. But it was a hard word, as the call to genuine repentance always is. Turn and live. This week we've been reflecting on racism as a manifestation of one of the ways that the church in America has failed to make true disciples of the people of God. We often lament the decline of the influence of the church in American society today. But as we do so, we must recognize that if the church in America today is in a state of decline, it's not the fault of liberals for being liberal. It's not the fault of unbelievers for not believing. It's not the fault of television or video games or the broader culture in general. If the church in America is in decline, it is in large measure our fault. We have not listened to what God has spoken to us through St. Paul when he says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." What Ezekiel's Israel failed to understand, what the church in Rome at St. Paul's day failed to understand, and what we too often fail to understand is the radical nature of the call of God. To be called to be the people of God is to die to what we have been and to receive a new life in Christ. In the Bible, redemption always entails transformation. Turn and live. About 18 or 19 years ago, I was asked to deliver a paper to a joint gathering of students from this institution and our neighbor to the south, Eden Seminary, here in St. Louis. The paper was to be on the theme of the moral imperative of the church. And as often the case in these things, they allotted me 40 to 45 minutes for the presentation and 15 minutes or so for questions and answers. I didn't need that much time. You see, the entire text of the presentation that I prepared consisted of one sentence. The moral imperative of the church is to live the life of Christ in the world. What I said then, I still believe today. We try to make this hard to understand. Because if it's hard to understand, well, A, you need highly paid professional seminary professors to explain it to you. But more importantly, B, if it's hard to understand, we have an excuse for not doing it. But there's nothing hard to understand here. Luther said it quite plainly in the first of his 95 theses. Our Lord and Master Jesus Christ, when he said, "Repent," willed that the whole life of believers should be repentance. And this call to a life of repentance, whether given by Ezekiel or Paul or Luther, is nothing other than the call to die to our life and to receive and live in the life of Christ. Turn and live. But that's what we have failed to do. And because we have not truly heard and embraced the call to live the life of Christ in the world, we have fallen short of the high calling of God. We have abandoned the adoration of the Holy One in favor of a weekly religious entertainment hour. We have shifted the focus of the Christian life from what we can give to what we can get. We have made the rightness of our ideas rather than loving one another the measure of our churchmanship. Now, please understand me here. I am not giving you permission to be heterodox. We have an irreducible calling to believe, teach, confess, and practice the Word of God without compromise. What I'm telling you is that right teaching without a right heart is no orthodoxy at all. Most of all, we've neglected the call to a transformative discipleship and substituted in its place the easygoing message of a happy, feel-good gospel that excuses rather than redeems sinners. Turn and live. Several times this week we've heard the name of Dietrich Bonhoeffer spoken. Well, Bonhoeffer could have been addressing the church of 2020 America instead of the church of 1930s Germany when he wrote this. The price we are having to pay today in the shape of the collapse of the organized church is only the inevitable consequence of our policy of making grace available to all at too low a cost. We gave away the word and sacraments wholesale. We baptized, confirmed, and absolved a whole nation without condition. Our humanitarian sentiment made us give that which was holy to the scornful and the unbelieving. But the call to follow Jesus in the narrow way was hardly ever heard. Understand this. When Bonhoeffer writes that the call to discipleship is a call to death, he is not saying that we're saved by our self-sacrifice or any good works that we do, even repentance as a good work. The call to discipleship is a call to death because it is a call to be joined with Christ in his death. And that call comes to us, accompanied by a word of comfort, that in being joined to Christ in his death, we are also joined with him in his resurrection. But make no mistake, resurrection follows death. The genuine repentance to which Ezekiel calls us is nothing other than what St. Paul tells us in Romans 6 when he says that we are raised with Christ that we might walk in newness of life. You see, we desire to be raised with Christ so that we can continue to walk in our old life. We want God to say, "You're forgiven. Go ahead and continue to be what you have always been." Genuine repentance is embracing by faith the death of what we have always been and receiving by faith, and in humble gratitude for the undeserved mercy of God who gives it, the new life of Christ in us, with its invitation to walk, however stumbling and ineptly, in the higher calling of his narrow way. Turn and live. I said a few moments ago that in the Bible, redemption always entails transformation. The point of the gospel is that this transformation comes from outside of us, not from within us. It is not something that we achieve by better education or moral exercise. It is the free gift of God's grace that we receive by faith. But sometimes when we're trying to work a deal with God, we're tempted to say, "Oh Lord, just give me one more chance." Well, brothers and sisters, the fact that you woke up this morning and are alive today is God's answer to your prayer. Today is the one more chance that you have freely received to strive to walk with him in the life that he lives in you by the indwelling of his Spirit. Knowing, as St. Peter writes, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. Hear, believe, receive. Turn and live in the name of Jesus. Amen.